Do you love your life as a small business owner? Let's be real, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love through practical, actionable tips, tools, and tactics, interviews with creative and curious small business owners, and in-depth coaching episodes with me, your host, Fiona Kalacki. With more than 20 years experience in marketing, brand, content, and systems, and having now helped thousands of small business owners, I know what it takes to build a business that you can be proud of and that actually aligns with your values, your beliefs, and your hopes for the future. So much of our daily life is spent working on and in the businesses and the brands that we are creating. And so it makes sense to actually love what you do. So let's get into this podcast and help you figure out how to love your business and your life on the daily. Hello and welcome to episode 573 of the My Daily Business podcast. Today it is a quick tip episode and I'm talking about something that I see happening way too often, and it's going to be a bit of a reality check episode, but I promise it comes from a place of love and wanting to see people succeed. Don't take anything too much to heart. Before we get stuck in, I want to acknowledge where I'm coming from and acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of these beautiful lands. And for me in North Warrandyte, that is the Wamarong and Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and I pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty has never been ceded. I also want to let you know, if you are listening to this in real time, I'd love to invite you to my first pop-up market here in Warrandyte, happening Saturday the 6th of December from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the Warrandyte Mechanics Hall, or the Warrandyte Mechanics Institute. If you Google either of them, you'll find it on the corner of Yarra Street and Mitchell Avenue. Now, I'll be selling a bunch of vintage hunted and collected items that I have found over the last 20 years. And I'll also be joined by a bunch of former clients, including Kitia Palaskas, Coben, Adele Jade, and Uku, which is founded by two amazing women who are coming onto the podcast in 2026, one of whom has already been on the podcast, Fatuma Denzako, who together with Lorinda created Collective Closets. And so there'll be so many amazing gift items there. There's also going to be my books, books from other people I've worked with, and magazines, including the latest issue of the Design Files magazine. So again, if you're in Melbourne and you feel like a little bit of a trek out, or perhaps you live nearby, then come out to Warrandyte on Saturday the 6th of December from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. and join us for the first of the pop-up markets. It's called the Subject Object Market. And you can find all the details over on my Instagram at mydailybusiness_. All right, let's get into today's quick tip episode. I was in a cafe recently and I overheard a conversation between two women, and one was lamenting about how hard it is as a small business owner to get exposure, how unfair it is when people with bigger followings or more resources seem to get all the opportunities. And honestly, my heart went out to her because she's not wrong. Like, it can be, and it is quite unfair. And it is really hard if you are starting something from scratch. And I was listening and, you know, being an eavesdropper, but her friend mentioned that she could actually hook her up with some opportunities. So she was like, oh, I know somebody who works at this particular publication. She had also talked about podcasts and she had mentioned something else, which fails to come to my memory right now. But the woman's response, who was complaining, her response was, oh, I'm just not ready for that. Like, I don't think I'm at that stage. And this is when it hit me, because sometimes we're our own biggest obstacle. And this is not an isolated incident. I wish it was. But honestly, over the years, and not just the years that I've been running this business, but well before that as well, I have seen this pattern repeatedly. Like, people asking for opportunities, then when the opportunities come, they find reasons why they can't do it. I've had people talk to me about coming on this podcast, and then when I say, yeah, you should, and then I get my VA to reach out, then they'll say, oh, I don't feel like I'm ready yet. Or, oh my gosh, it would be too nerve-wracking. Or they don't think they have anything to say. And I get it. Like, going on a podcast, speaking at an event, being featured in media, it is scary. It is scary for most people. And I would say 80%, maybe even 85% of the people who come on this podcast, it is their first podcast that they have done. And you know what? They all do brilliantly. And even if they are nervous, we edit it. So you don't hear that stuff. let me be clear. I'm not saying that you need to say yes to every opportunity, not at all. And actually, I've got an upcoming coaching episode all about your no list because boundaries are crucial. But there is a difference between saying no because something doesn't align with your goals or it doesn't align with like your values, and then saying no because you are scared. And that sounds kind of harsh, but if nothing changes, nothing changes. If you keep waiting until you feel ready, whatever that is, you might just be waiting forever. And I know that I also come from a place that I have a podcast, and also I worked in media for a long time, and I interviewed people for publications since like the early 2000s. So maybe I'm not as scared of it as other people because of that background. But honestly, I know I say it all the time, so much so my husband actually made some artwork years ago and I've got it framed in my office. But if nothing changes, nothing changes. If you're going to sit there and complain about something and then you're offered an opportunity to change that, take the opportunity. Because no one ever feels completely ready, honestly. Like, I get nervous when I'm going on someone else's podcast, even though I have this podcast. Sometimes I get nervous on my own podcast when I'm interviewing somebody. I will say to them, oh my God, I'm so nervous right now. Even though I am in control of how it's edited, I'm in control of when it comes out, I'm in control of what questions we ask. So, you know, I will still get nervous. It's completely normal. People who have done media interviews for years still feel butterflies. I know people that get on TV, you know, once or twice every month, and they still get nervous, even though they've done it a million times. Even Beyonce has said, and I'm going to quote, I think it's healthy for a person to be nervous. It means you care, that you work hard and you want to give a great performance. You just have to channel that nervous energy into the show. And she said, I get nervous when I don't get nervous. If I'm nervous, I know I'm going to have a good show. Now, that is Beyonce. People line up. They sleep on the streets in order to get tickets to her stuff. She will sell out stadiums, and yet she still gets nervous. If one of the most successful performers in the world, like her, still gets nervous, what does that tell us? The difference is she pushes through. She does it anyway. She channels that energy into her performance. And I also just want to put a caveat in here. I'm not talking about people who really do have like social anxiety or really who, you know, coming on a podcast or speaking to the media would decimate them for weeks and hurt their energy. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people who could do this and are sort of holding themselves back and kind of self-sabotaging, because it's not even like being ready isn't a feeling, it's a decision. You know, when someone tells me I'm not ready to be on a podcast, I always offer alternatives. Like, we can turn the video off. We can do a phone call instead of Zoom. We've actually done that twice on this podcast where someone said it would feel a lot more comfortable to me if we just talked on the phone. I'm like, cool, we can do that. We can edit the audio from a phone call. I can send questions ahead of time. We always do. Sometimes we go back and forth with people on the questions. Sometimes people will write their answers in there and ask me for feedback. I prefer people to just talk rather than write word for word, because then you can hear that they're reading it. But I've even re-recorded entire episodes when someone felt they could do better and they just felt like they didn't give their best in that conversation and they were too nervous. Can we re-record? Which is a lot of time and effort, but we did it. The point is, there are usually ways to make opportunities work if you want them to work. So you can say, hey, like, I know it's supposed to be an audio interview for, let's say, a magazine. I would much prefer if you could send me the questions through email. Would that be okay? And then some people prefer to speak, you know, to do an interview speaking. Gosh, I can't get the words out, rather than write their answers. So we can always accommodate. I worked as a journalist for years. You can accommodate. If you want the story, you can accommodate the person and how they best want to show up. And years ago, and I've talked about this one before as well, but I had a colleague who constantly talked about wanting to write for magazines. And she'd see my name in publications. It was way back. I was writing for like Lunch Lady, Yen, Rush, a bunch of magazines in the UAE, a bunch of magazines in the UK. And we would go to Borders and I would be like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And I'd buy my magazines. Well, often I wouldn't buy them just to read them there. Oh my goodness. Because I was real skint working for somebody in my early 20s. Anyway, and she would say, I wish I could write for them. So what did I do? I introduced her to the editors. I recommended her for articles. I literally handed her opportunities on a silver platter. And the editors, they handed her opportunities and she never followed through. Every time an editor reached out, she had a reason why it wasn't the right time, why she wasn't qualified, you know, why she wasn't good enough, really. And eventually, the editors stopped reaching out. They want somebody who's just going to turn their stuff in pretty quickly. They don't have time to like massage your ego into feeling ready. And she went back to just wishing that she could write for magazines, not realizing she had multiple chances. And I go out of my way, I have to say, without big upping myself, I will go out of my way to connect people. If somebody says to me, oh my goodness, I'd love to write for that publication, I will go out of my way to introduce people. I do it all the time. I always have done it. And it is frustrating when you do that again and again and again for people who then don't take it up and don't follow through. So you want to recognize if this is you, if you are self-sabotaging. How do you know if you're self-sabotaging? You want to ask yourself these questions. Now, before we keep going, a quick moment to thank today's podcast sponsor, Vanta AI. You know what's frustrating about running a business? You get pulled away from what you're actually really good at to go and handle admin, compliance, and security stuff that honestly, most of us never expected to be dealing with. Whether you want to ask yourself these questions, are a tech startup needing SOC 2 certification because you're about to land a massive deal, or you're a small business owner working in B2B and you're genuinely worried about protecting your business and its data properly, Vanta can help. It's an AI-powered security and compliance platform that handles it all automatically. Vanta's AI and automation make it easy to get big deal ready in days and continuously monitors your compliance so future deals are never blocked. My listeners can get $1,000 off at vanta.com/mydailybusiness. That's vanta.com/mydailybusiness for $1,000 off. All right, let's get back into it. Okay, you want to ask yourself these questions. One, am I saying no because this genuinely doesn't align with my goals or because I'm scared? Two, what is the worst thing that could realistically happen if I said yes? The worst. Like, what is the worst thing? If you came on a podcast and you were absolutely horrible, we would say, hey, I think you might want to rethink your answer, or do you need more time, or we could record another day. Like, no one would know that you're horrible except me and you, you know? The other question is, what is the worst thing that could happen if I keep saying no to opportunities like this? So what is the long-term cost if you keep saying no? If my best friend was offered this opportunity, what would I tell them to do? So these are the questions. Am I saying no because it doesn't align with my goals or because I'm scared? What is the worst thing that could realistically happen if I said yes? What is the worst thing that could happen if I keep saying no to opportunities like this? And if my best friend was offered this opportunity, what would I tell them to do? Because every opportunity you turn down because you're not ready, quote unquote, is practice you're not getting. It's exposure. Like, you could come on my podcast and practice, and then you might go on to, I don't know, Diary of a CEO's podcast or something, and you've practiced on mine. And also, it's connections that you're not making, because opportunities, they don't usually come back around in exactly the same way. The editor may not reach out again. That event organizer might move on to somebody else. The podcast host fills their calendar with other guests. And so here's what I want you to do. Think about the last opportunity you turned down. Was it a genuine misalignment? Was it fear? And if it was fear, what could you have done to make it work? Like, what support could you have asked for? What accommodations might have helped you? Because honestly, people want to make this work. And then going forward, when opportunities come up, pause before you just rush in with a no. Like, ask yourself, is it fear talking? Is this wisdom? And again, I'm not saying you should say yes to everything, but boundaries are massively important. And not every opportunity is going to be the right opportunity, but don't let fear masquerade as wisdom. Don't let "I'm not ready" become your default response to growth opportunities. Because sometimes, honestly, the best time to do something scary is when you're scared. That's often when you need to do it most. Because success isn't just about the opportunities that come. It's actually what you do with those opportunities when they show up, because they will. They'll show up for everyone. So next time an opportunity comes or somebody offers to help you with something, really listen to why you're answering the door. You know, if opportunity knocks, you're answering that door. Why are you answering it? And think about why your response is the way that it is. And I have to say, I am not immune to this. Years ago, I was asked to be on a blog for one of my beautiful early clients who has since become massive. And I said no to that blog, honestly, because I didn't think their clothes were going to fit me. And I wish I had actually just been honest at the time and said, I don't, you know, I've gained some weight. I don't know if your clothes are going to fit me, because this woman is absolutely lovely. And I'm sure she would have said, cool, what else could we do? Or, you know, worked with me on that. I just said no, because I didn't want to admit that. And it is vulnerable even now to admit it. And that opportunity has never come back. And her brand has got bigger and bigger and bigger, especially into the US. And that opportunity did not come around again. And so I wish that I had just said yes at that time. Or I wish I had at least said, these are my reservations. How can we work together on this? And I was also making assumptions that she didn't have bigger sizes, because I was making assumptions and I was being scared. So I'm not immune to it, but I've since learned that I should have said yes to that, and the opportunities don't always come around again. So that is it for today's episode. And again, if you are anywhere near Warrandyte this coming Saturday, the 6th of December, I would love you to join me at my Subject Object pop-up market at the Warrandyte Mechanics Institute, on the corner of Yarra Street and Mitchell Avenue, Warrandyte. We're running from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. and I'm going to be joined by Coben, Kittia Palaskas, Uku, Australian Birth Stories, Adele Jade, and some other people too. So check it out. You can find all the details at mydailybusiness_ or on Instagram, subject_object. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business podcast. For a range of tools to help you grow and start your business, including coaching programs, courses, and templates, check out our shop at mydailybusiness.com/shop. And if you want to get in touch, you can do that via email, hello@mydailybusiness.com, or you can hit us up on Instagram at mydailybusiness_. You can find us on TikTok at mydailybusiness, or find me, Fiona Clarkey, on LinkedIn. I look forward to connecting.